Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 165 for Tuesday, October 12th of 2001. And on tonight's panel, we have got Nick Howard. How you doing, Nick?
What's going on? The smoothest guy on the planet is back.
I love it. It is very smooth. I swear.
It's smooth. That's egg shit.
Anytime I start a cool jazz station, I'm going to make sure I book you as a DJ. It's exactly. Just fantastic. It's
yes,
awesome.
Sir. Yes, sir.
We also have Hunter Nix. Hey, Hunter.
Finally a win. Back, boys. We're back.
Yeah, I don't know if we're back in the sense of we're back, or as in week. Like Texas is back, we're back. I don't know how to parse that. We'll figure that out. And we also have TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. How you doing, Shannon?
What's up? What's everybody? We're back in the win column. How about that? We won one.
That's what I was doing.
We had some fun doing it, so that's where we are this week.
I'll take a win any day, especially when you go to AT&T Jones Stadium. So it was a nice one. We'll get into that in just a minute. And rounding out our wonderful roundtable today, we've also got TCU Hall of Famer WC Nix. Hey, Dubber.
What's up, guys? Big win. Hey, anytime you go to Tech and get a win, it's a good win, period.
That's right.
We've had awesome, crazy ones there. And sometimes it's not very good at Tech, so I'm taking the win, and I'm happy. I got a big smile on my face, and looking forward to this week.
Yeah, it was a very good game. But before we get into talking about the win in Lubbock, Hunter, I think we've got some recruiting news.
We do indeed. Pretty good week last week as far as recruiting. We got another recruit, Major Everhart. He's a 3-star running back slot type. You know, he'll play probably a little bit of both for us. It's 5'11", 170. He's from Amarillo, Tascosa. He picked us over Notre Dame and Tech, and he is also the fastest player in the nation. He ran a 10.3800 last year as a junior. He could graduate early, but he's not going to because he wants to run track one last year and, see if he can lower that time. He is the fastest recruit in the nation, actually. Like, he has run the lowest time of any recruit this coming out next year. He also is supposed to run track for TCU, so he can keep his grades up, apparently. So, yeah, should be a really, really good guy. You know, he's going to be a really good one. Yeah, it's a big get for us.
Is he being – you said running back, right?
So, he plays running back now. He's probably going to be more of a slot type.
Okay.
More like Tay Barber, you know, might run some of those sweeps and stuff, but he's more of a slot. And, you know, seeing who we've got going off the team next year with Tay and JD Spielman, and is Darius a junior or a senior? But, I mean, at least two of those guys are going to be gone next year. So,
oh yeah,
that'll be his quickest way onto the field.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we'll do it'll be interesting because I didn't know if he was actually being recruited as a running back or if they're looking to actually move him into a different position. So,
yeah,
it'll be a defensive end.
Yeah, 170, he better hit the buffet line. I tell you what.
Hey, we got some pretty skinny linebackers.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, that's going to be good. Well, that is exciting, and it's good to hear that we're still recruiting speed, because I know that was some of the questions that were very interesting over the last several weeks, and I think we saw speed on the field this Saturday as TCU goes to Lubbock and beats Tech 52-31 in a game that, to be honest with you, Tech just didn't look like they were in it from the very beginning. TCU kind of runs away with it by the end of the first half and just keeps Tech at arm's length for the rest of the game. And this was a game that the Frogs quite literally ran over the opposition and looked really good at doing it with 200-plus rushers. This is the first time Miller and Evans went 100 yards since last year at Louisiana Tech. And I think this is bodes very well. And I know, Dubber, I want to start with you. Offensive line, they looked a whole lot nicer this week than in previous weeks, especially run blocking.
Well, they played pretty well. I mean, they haven't been playing bad on the run blocking side of things. They, but but they put it together this week for sure. I'm going to tell you, there were some big holes up there this week. And, you know, you give Evans and them the kind of holes they gave them. That, I mean, there's nothing to gripe about the way they played this week. The biggest thing is, the biggest thing about our offensive line is health. We can keep them healthy. That seems to be our problem there, is the health part of it. So, but you're right. Our offensive line just flat dominated up front. I mean, it wasn't, there's no other way to put it. I mean, what was it? What he, at one time, Evans had 4 carries for 94 yards.
Yeah.
That's pretty good blocking. But, you know, I say this all the time. I always talk about how Evans make you look better, you know. You know, just, well, Saturday our line really played well. I mean, there was some big gaping holes this Saturday.
Dubber. I'm a little disappointed in you, man. I thought you were coming with a lot more energy, man. Like, they didn't just do well, that. Listen, that's my A-plus group this week. He picked you, but I was like,
well, my A-plus group was A-plus like the whole line. Yes, I am trying not to get too high. I'm trying not to get too low.
Controversy right out of the gate.
We gotta be consistent. I said they played great. They really did.
Well,
they
got energy level. I just thought you was gonna come because me. This the energy I have now is for the whole line.
I'm trying to
Oh, come on, Dub.
No, I agree with you though. Let me chime in on that.
The offensive line was great. I watched them. That was my group to watch this weekend. Yeah. I just kind of watched, and I watched it a couple times. I didn't get a chance to watch it live because I was doing PV football, but I didn't answer my phone. I did all the text messages that was going on, you guys. I didn't read none of them because I wanted nothing. I got home. The O-line, man, they were blocking 10 yards down the field. They were kicking butt. Yeah. And those guys really – that. Listen, I don't think we could have put in a third string running back, and I guarantee he'd had 100 yards. Those guys were blocking. Listen, those guys did what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because that O-line, I'm telling you, they were blocking their butts off. And they were not – I'm not talking 1 or 2 yards. They were blocking down the field, and it was play after play after play. I was excited for the O-line. That was my A-plus of the whole game of what every stance of the team is that O-line. And that was great, great to see. Now, will that carry over? We'll see. But it was great to really see the way they said, you know what, if I had to pick a group that stood up and said, you know what, this group needs to stand up for the team, I have to say it's the O-line.
I'll tell you what I liked about it, too, is a couple of times they did miss blocks. I actually saw some people get angry at themselves that they knew that if they made a block instead of a 2-yard gain or a 3-yard gain, it might have been another big bust. But that's what you want to see. You want to see that they're upset when they don't make a block, and they were dominant when they were blocking.
Well, that's always been your thing, right? You want to see those guys get angry. You want to see them just be down in the trenches and just rip somebody's head off every now and then. Yeah. And you've been saying that. You've been harping on that for the last couple of years. Yeah. And we saw that. We finally, in the last couple of games, starting with Texas, you're starting to see this out of this offensive line. So either they're listening to our podcast every week, which I hope they are, or somebody's actually got a hold of them and said, hey, you guys really need to start, you know, ratcheting up the energy level and just the fierceness when you're going against these defensive lines. But let me ask you a question, because Shannon brought something up. I was just curious, Dubber. What I saw on Saturday, it looked like that unit was expecting, like, that was going to be the game plan. The game plan was to go to the ground and have a power running game all day long at Tech. And with Max only being 8 of 10, which, by the way, fantastic, and we talk about his amazing deep pass, which was good to see him connect on. But with only 10 attempts, though, I mean, this looked like this was game plan from the beginning. Did you get that feeling as an offensive lineman? Did you get a feeling that they were just told, we're just going to run it down the throat?
They decided that they've been beat up. They've been beat up by everybody about not running. And so they ran. Of course, that's going to be interesting to see, because we showed we could run. You know what? We ran last week. I mean, Evans has had some good games all year long. It's just the amount of carries. So our line's getting better and better and better. This will be a big test Saturday. But if it's me, you hear it all the time. What beats a good offense? Is your offense holding the ball and being good and running the ball and keeping the ball away from their offense? And that's what we're going to need to do some this week. So I hope we have the same game plan. There's no doubt. I think we'd almost lost before we throw the ball too much because they've been getting beat up. I mean, it looked silly last week against Texas. You know, we might have won that game if we rushed the ball more instead of doing some of the silly stuff we did. We turned around and just hand the ball off play after play. And you know what? The offensive line's showing that they like to do that. They like to block. Mm-hmm. They're starting to get, like you said, they're getting nasty. I saw some guys get mad after they missed a block or two. And then, like Shannon said, they were flat, taking people 10 yards down. They were freight training people. They were playing on the edge, as I'll say. Just right on the edge and not getting the flag. And that's where you want to be playing the whole time.
Hey, and I thought about you, Dub. See, that's why I thought you'd be fired up.
I was extremely fired up. I really am. I'm extremely fired up. But I just want to –
He's just three glasses of wine in tonight. That's it.
That's all okay. Well, I got you covered, buddy.
I know.
Well, Nick, real quick, because the run game was pretty much the spotlight of the week. I don't want to just kind of gloss over what Max did here real quick. So we've seen several time and time again, Max's intermediate passing has really improved this year. But this was the first time where he really connected downfield to a brilliant pass. It was Davis. And this was something that I think really helped because it kind of made, who was Tech's defensive coordinator? Is it Wells? I forgot who is. Yeah, I think it's Wells, right? And really kind of seemed like it shook him up a bit. Like he was not expecting that to happen. And this was something we've been hoping to see out of Max all season long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good to see it. Like you said, the efficiency is it's improving. So it's but daggone, just keep running the ball when you got Zach Evans going for 150 and one half, and you got Mr. Miller time, you know, he going down for another 150, and it's just like you can't do no wrong there. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know. The passing game is going to continue to be there, so it's going to continue to improve, especially when JD and Quentin come back. I think they'll be hitting on all cylinders, so it should be good.
Yeah, and that was very interesting because I think with Quentin Johnson out in this game, but he did travel, and Hunter – do you think we're going to be able to see him next week?
You know, I would guess yes, because it's a big game. You know, he's one of our better players. He knows that. Everyone knows that. He's got to get up for it. If he can go and not injure himself further, he'll go. But at the same time, we got the same old we'll see from Gary today. So who knows if that actually, they said he might be able to go this week. So I'm going to take that as a good sign. He was at the game last week. I can only imagine he'll at least suit up and probably try to make a go of it.
Because he was a game time decision, wasn't he?
Apparently, yes.
Yeah, he was. And I'm beginning to think he wasn't a game time decision. I think that maybe they brought him along as a head fake to Tech. Yeah, because I'm beginning to think that they planned all week long with the personnel that has been out on the offensive side, that they were not going to throw the ball around a lot at Tech, that they figured that they probably had better matchups on the offensive line to their defensive line and just run the dang ball. And good things happen when you run the ball with this team. So I'm curious if you felt the same way, Hunter. Do you feel like the personnel that we had going into Tech dictated the game plan?
Yeah, I mean, I think the personnel should dictate that it should dictate that almost every week right now when you've got Miller and Evans back there.
Well, it's always questionable with Meacham because he does some really crazy stuff.
True, but when you take Quentin Johnson out of the mix, that's huge right there. That's definitely your number one go-to best receiver in my mind. And it just made it an easy decision to pound the rock, which I was happy we did.
Yeah, it turned out well. It was a really good decision as far as the game plan goes. And again, I want to highlight one thing. Mark Cohen actually posted this. Mark Cohen is the TCU SID. He posted a tweet today where he had Miller and Evans are number one and number two nationally on yards per carry. They're almost getting 8 yards per carry each. Isn't that insane?
Well, and I'll tell you what else happened too. You know, Max had a couple of nice scrambles. Mm-hmm. That's how you need to use, but let Max do his thing now. We don't need him to run. What we need is when he needs to run, then let him run. Mm-hmm. But calling his play to run, the only reason you'd be doing that is because you've handed the rock so many times to the two running backs that you see the defensive end just caving down every play, and there's a good backside out. But if they're not doing that yet, and it's a read, it's really a read option still, I'm not reading anything. I'm giving it to my two running backs. And then once you get them thinking, we got to stop these two guys, that's when Max pulls it every once in a while. But it only should be a couple times a game. And then let him scramble. You know, let him scramble because that's where he's dangerous. Let him scramble around and he gets out of the pocket and all of a sudden, you know, he's down the field for 30 yards before you know what's happening. I mean, that's the way they need to use Max. And, you know, we got running backs out the gazoo.
Yeah, it reminded me of the old adage that Gary Patterson always said about his quarterback. He wants a game manager, right? He doesn't want somebody where you have to feel like you have to put the entire game on their shoulders and they have to throw for 350 yards a game. He wants a game manager. And Shannon, let me bring you in here, because what I saw on Saturday was kind of a throwback to the old WAC and Mountain West Conference days, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But, guys, you know, I think this is what I know. This was a good old film study. And what I mean by that is if you – the three or four games they probably watched of Tech guys, and they watched team run the ball on Tech, and while we're probably figuring – I hadn't saw Tech play up until, I'll be honest with you, up until we played them. But what I'm willing to guarantee is they watched these teams that Texas played, and they were 4-1 against, and they said, you know what, Texas Tech gives up yards. We have a line. We have two studs. The game plan is to run at them and run at them willingly until we break their spirit. That's what happened. And, guys, my thing is, and you put those stats out there from Cohen, my problem is with that is we'll see what we'll see. We saw Saturday.
Exactly.
The game plan we all been wanting to see, right? With the studs that we had. Then we'll go into Saturday. We'll start with that same game plan against Oklahoma. This is what I'm hoping not happen, but history tells us what I'm about to say. We'll do it for a series, maybe even two, and then we'll get away from it because we feel it's not working. When you have a dominant run game like we saw we can have on Saturday, you don't go away from it. You stick to it until you get some momentum and get those big guys rolling. You get into a rhythm and you start rolling down their throats and you manage the game that way. If we get into a shootout, that's one thing. But if we can play solid enough defense to keep the game under control, manage the game by running your two studs. You know what I mean? We have a stud back there. You have to respect that guy. The running back from Texas is a hell of a running back. He is. He showed it again. Hell of a running back. But guess what, guys? He got shut down. You know, at some point, they shut him down. So what I'm saying is then they made Texas adjust. And going to the air just really wasn't it. So until they make you adjust in a game, then you adjust. But I think we adjust too fast. I think we get frenzy and get panicky before they make us really have to panic. And I think thus is why we kind of flip out and you start seeing the craziness and all that. We got to stick to the game plan. I think we go in Oklahoma and say, you know what? They know we're going to run the ball. Screw it. We're going to man on man, best on best. Let's run the ball. Let's see what happens. And I hope they do the same thing. I mean, let's just nut up and play good old-fashioned smash mouth football. Let's see what happens.
Well, let's switch gears just a little bit because we haven't talked about defense yet. And defense seems to be the big Achilles heel this season. And, Shannon, linebackers seem to be a big problem, even against Tech.
I just made a statement. I said, line up, run, and let's see what happens. That's my biggest issue on the defensive side with that quote I just made. We're getting gassed in the middle, and we have to step up. We've got to – Gary, you know, he's been great, and I got to give it to Gary. From safeties to strong safeties and moving guys to linebacker, who's going on to the NFL, and he's been great at that. I don't know if we have those jewels to do that this year, so I don't know if we have to go with what we have, and these guys have just got to step up and get better each game, but they got to grow up right now and get better because right now, as I told you guys, we watch film, so do the opponents. And guess what they say we're weak at? linebacker. And they're going to run it right at us. They're going to gash us. And with Oklahoma, them big boys, I'm sure that's going to be their game plan. Is go right at the linebacker. We're weak in the middle. So I think we have to do some adjusting there. I don't know what that is, because I'm trying to think of the personnel we even have to do that. As you know now, unless somebody's hurt, I think it's too late in the season to move somebody from another position to make that happen. That's all, you know, that kind of those kind of changes have been made pretty much in the offseason, unless somebody got hurt. But I don't know what we have to do besides just get better there and really start playing a lot better at the linebacker position, because that's always been the strength of a TCU's defense. You name the great defense of TCU's had over the years, you can first start with the linebackers. And we just don't have that right now.
Well, let me ask you this. Having been somebody who's played in Gary Patterson's defense and knowing that, what sort of adjustments has Patterson ever made in the past to shore up the linebacker position? Do you think he's going to achieve a safety? What is he going to do?
Tighten up the box. You got to tighten up the box. I mean, we've never had to do that, but you have to tighten up the box. You know, we've got to bring it up. We've got to secure the outside and take our chances with the Tomlinsons, the hot, you know, the guys who are ranked and guys who's proven up to be some of the greats in the nation.
Trust them on the island.
We've got to trust them. We've got to trust that they know it, because you can't do both. You got to give somewhere when you're weak somewhere, and you don't have the quote-unquote personnel at those positions. So he's going to have to tighten up the box. He's going to have to bring some people down to stop those big-time, you know, 15, 20-yard hits and make them maybe 8 yards. I remember times Curtis Fuller, he was leading the tackles, and he's a safety, but he would come in the box, and if somebody popped one behind the linebackers, Curtis was right there to make plays. And now maybe it's a 10-yard gain, 9-yard gain versus a 15, 20, you know what I mean? So – he's just going to have to ensure the box and tighten everything up and trust the go-getters at their positions on the outside.
Yeah, I see that a lot in T.J. Carter. He's definitely making some big plays. I think if they just tighten it up with him, because he can definitely lay a hit on somebody right there in the middle.
Well, we certainly saw that against Texas.
I still think he's going to get creative with the rough blitz packages too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think he's going to have to – you know, like you said, I think he's going to have to take them guys out on the corners, you know, especially Tomlinson. I'd just tell him, you're manned up all day long, one-on-one. Whatever happens, it happens. You know, I trust him enough to know that he's going to get after it every play, every day. And I'm taking that guy over the top, that usually over the top there. And like Shannon said, I'm bringing him in the box. Or I'm having him doing a run blitz to pass, you know, whatever. But every time, I'm going to make them make a decision not to, you know, you can't. What ends up happening is if you don't stop one of them, you don't stop either one of them. And that's right now, that's kind of where we're at a little bit. I mean, you know, and so, you know, hey, but it's not just linebackers. Our pass rush, you know, and I will say one thing. Getting Coleman back has helped. Coleman can play. I mean, he's the guy that's really more than anybody been consistent with getting pressure on the quarterback and stuff. But we gotta have the you need the linebackers to be able to stop the run, and we gotta have defensive ends that pressure the quarterback to get the ball out of his hands. If we don't have those two things, we're in trouble.
No, you're right. And it's one of those damn if you do, damn if you don't situations. Garrett's just got to pick his poison. Does he want to take the rest of the deep ball or the one hitter right up the middle kind of thing? So, you know, he's going to – and even with the blitz, you know, and I've seen them blitz. They brought some blitz, not as much as we probably like, but they just hadn't got there. And what happens when they don't get there, that middle's wide open. And we've been gassed that way. And so it's just one of those situations where Oklahoma really wants to come in and really run the ball down our throats. I believe that's the game plan. That will be the game plan. I think that's what he has to game plan for and take his risk on the islands. I just believe that.
Well, I think Tech game, we got up so quick, so fast. I think he just went back basic. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anything special on defense. I think we just lined up, and I think it's kind of like
– I think it's flipped almost 20-1 at that point.
It's yeah, we just like, them up front.
Yeah, we just go line up, go man on man, and we're going to try to get you better like that in a live situation.
Well, I tell you what, I will take 52 points basic any day.
Yeah.
Any day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and sure. And I don't think I'm hoping you're right, but I'm also hoping that if that's the case, I hope Coach takes a look at that and goes, well, I'll be damned. We've got a great stable of running backs. We can run the ball. We can push this through. The personnel needs to, we need to run the ball more. And that's what Coach has always said time and time again, right? He likes to control the clock. He wants an offense. And that was the big thing when Meacham and Cumbie came in, right? It was going to this spread, you know, up-tempo offense. That was the one concern. And one of the things that a lot of us were kind of surprised that Patterson even allowed was because he likes to have an offense that controls the clock, which is why when I was talking to Shannon a little while ago, it reminded me of the old WAC and Mountain West Conference days where we had an offense that would do that, would run the ball, run down the clock. You'd have 5, 6, 7 minute drives just to give the defense enough time to kind of recover for the next series. And we haven't really seen that much out of this offense over the last couple of years. We have just way too many three and outs, just too quick. The defense is right back on the field, and bad things happen. And I think with the injuries that we have on both sides of the ball, I think going basic is probably our best bet in Oklahoma. So since we've switched gears into talking about Oklahoma real quick, Nick, going up to Oklahoma. Actually, before we start talking about Oklahoma, I forgot to mention one thing. We're all going up to Oklahoma on Saturday. And if you want to join us, we still have a couple of tickets left on the Killer Frogs bus. If you haven't been on any of the bus trips with us in the past, let me tell you, it is a fantastic way to go to an away game. We are going to meet up at TCU, I think around 1 o'clock. The game's at 6:30. We're going to travel up there in style. We're going to have, you know, games, drinks, snacks galore. Then once we're done with that, we'll get up there, hopefully coming back with a win. We'll drive on the way back. And of course you can sleep through it if you'd like. It is a fantastic way to go to an away game. If you do want to come, like I say, we only have a couple of tickets left at this point, but if you go to killerfrogs.com, you can go to the store and you can purchase those tickets. Hopefully they're still available when you go to try to do it. But like I said, there's only a handful left. So if you want to go, now's the time to buy your tickets. Now with that out of the way, Nick, we're going up to Norman. What do you want to see, first and foremost, from the offense? Well, actually, we already talked about, well, yeah, whatever way. Offense or defense, what do you want to see on Saturday?
Offense, I just want to see them stick to the gut. You know, I'm going to the press conference tomorrow. You know, Gary's going to find a way to say, oh, we're going to try to do something different. We've got to find a different way, you know, but I think you just need to stick with just running the football, my guy.
Just do me a favor. Don't drink every time he says win by one.
Oh, man. He's Shannon's over there laughing because, you know, it's true. But and defense-wise, man, don't get fatigued. You just got to play smarter. I remember the linebackers, they kind of look like they're trying too hard out there, you know, just stick to playing football and just being in the right spot. So they're just all about just going out there and just playing some football this weekend. Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be good football. Hunter?
Wait. I'm sorry. Before you go, Sean. Hey, Nick, don't put that fatigue stuff on the defense. We don't use words like that on defense. That's for them offense. Yeah, we don't put that fatigue stuff on us.
You have offended him, sir. It's pistols at dawn for y'all.
I feel like after last week, I'm ready for this one. Defensively, I'm kind of excited to see. This is a freshman quarterback in his first start. Not saying he didn't have a great week last week. But, again, this is probably going to be his first start ever in college football. He hasn't played that much. He didn't play his whole senior year because of COVID, and then he played the half of this game. He's not played that much football, really, when you really look at it. And I hope Gary comes out with some different things, throw some different looks at him because, you know, that's going to be the ball game there if you can stop. You can stop Oklahoma just one more time than they stop you. You can win that game. I think we're going to have to score a lot of points, but I feel like we're able to do so. But definitely we should be able to stop this guy at least, you know, into a few rookie mistakes. He is a rookie. He's a very good rookie, but he is a rookie. I mean,
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, because it seemed like we've got a little bit of a quarterback issue here with Oklahoma. I didn't know how you saw this guy is going to shake out, especially seeing something like a Gary Patterson defense. Don't get me wrong. Oklahoma's coaching staff will have this guy ready, but you're right. I mean, he hasn't really played much in the last couple of years, and going up against a defense like Gary Patterson's defense, even with the injuries and the personnel, how do you feel like he's going to be able to adjust? Do you feel like he's the type of guy who can adjust on the fly like that?
I mean, you know, he is a very good quarterback. I'll say that. The kid's a stud. He's a very good football player. There's a reason he was ranked so high. Generally, you know, when those five-star kids are five-star, there's a reason for it. We've seen that with, you know, with Evans so far. And, you know, he's a stud. But at the same time, it's still first game he's ever started. You know, there will be adversities that he's probably not seen up until this point. He played a heck of a game last week, you know, at the biggest stage. Does he have a come down from that? You know, is he going to be mentally prepared to be the guy now coming into week one? Is he going to get a big head? There's just a lot of moving parts here. And then you've also got the backup quarterback now who was, you know, predicted to be first overall. How's that going to play out in the locker room? You know, there's just all different types of stuff going on with this. I'm very glad we're playing them this week.
Yeah, I agree with you too. I think the best thing could happen is don't let his athletic commit. I hope he tries to stay in the pocket and outthink us. I think where he gets it, I think if he's getting spontaneous is where he could really hurt us. Mm-hmm. Going off the card, you know, basically, and saying, well, jump back the thing and say, I'm forget this, I'm taking off running, you know, quick. I'm hoping he'll stay in the pocket and let, if he tries to do stuff like that, I think Patterson, I think he'll have enough understanding that, hey, we're going to mess with his mind a little bit, you know. But the big thing about him is he's that kind of athlete that he can get out of trouble just as easy as, you know, as he got in trouble just because of sheer athletic ability. And, you know, I think this week, I think that we better hope that Max is on his game, because I feel like I agree. I don't care if we get to halftime and we have 50 yards rushing. We got to keep running the ball, period. I mean, you just got to keep running the ball. But we're going to need Max to throw the ball this week. We're going to have to be a lot more well-rounded. If we're not, we'll get beat. Because Oklahoma showed what they'll do. That's what they did against Robinson. They finally said, we are not going to let this dude beat us. But you know what? And I know Texas started off really good, but crap, even Texas did it. It took them a while before they handed him the ball. I mean, really, him, they used him as a decoy the first quarter. And I'm thinking, I just wouldn't use him as a decoy, because the problem is if you're using him as a decoy and you're maybe getting some plays, you're hitting some stuff, man, that middle and that physical beatdown of him running and you chasing him and this and that, they didn't have to experience that for about the first half of the first quarter. Now, Texas scored fast, but you know what? Scoring so fast didn't really benefit them, because at the end of the game, Texas was the one that was gassed. I mean, yeah. You know, and their defense was tired. So I think we're going to have a combination. I think we're going to have to run. We're going to have to be physical. But Max is going to have to throw the ball, and he's going to have to hit some receivers. And you know what? I hope they shut her run down in some ways, because if they've decided that we're running good enough that they're having to put extra people in the box, well, then that's when you got to throw the ball a little bit. And if they do that, it gives us the opportunity to hit some big plays.
Well, and let me ask you real quick before we bring Shannon into this. On the offensive line, we had two injured starters, and we got to protect Max. I think this line is geared more, at least in the current personnel, is geared better towards run blocking than it is pass blocking.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But at some point in time, Oklahoma's going to say, if they bring more guys to stop the run than you have to block them, then you got to adjust your game a little bit. I mean, you got to – I don't think you try to throw the deep ball. I think you do what Max does, quick slants and this and that, get the ball out of your hand, fake it to the running back, let the dang linebackers and a safety step up, and then you burn them. And that's what you hope you do. And I agree, we're geared for running the ball, but at Oklahoma, if they got any sense, if they're hurting us, they're just going to put another guy in the box. They either got a guy in the box or going to – it's kind of like what we get mad about Gary with right now. At times, he keeps a safety over the top or a couple safeties over the box, and it just lets us run. Oklahoma's going to take one of them guys, maybe two of them, and put them in the box, and they're going to say, we're going to man up, and you're going to have to beat us like that if we're running the ball well. And they're going to make us have to hit some. I'm not saying Max has got to be 30 for 40 or anything like that, but he might have to be 20 for – he might have to throw 30 times or 25 times. It might just happen like that, And I hope that if he's throwing like that, that it means we've been running the ball well.
Yeah. Shannon?
Yep. No, you guys have all said some legit stuff. And to your point, because I want to talk about the quarterbacks in a second, too, my psychology of that, since that's what my degree's in. But to your point, the play that I hate the most because of WC, what they're going to do is crowd the box to shut down Evans. I feel like if they can shut down Evans and they can keep Duggan from throwing – the deep ball, or shut him down, those two, they got something. So I think in order to – you start off with the run, you do what you need to do, they're going to stack the box. If you're not having success there, I can see us going to that little the little side pad, whatever they call them, screen pads and side pads.
Bubble screen.
Runs. Because every bubble screen, because they're in the box is crowded, you can't run. Now, I do believe that Evans is good enough to make one or two guys miss in the box. I still believe if you stack the box with good on good and the numbers match – and defense has the opportunity to crowd one more in the box because you got numbers. Quarterback don't count, right? So you have you have the box fill with even a better number on the defensive side, if you will, because the quarterback cannot block unless he sets back and run the ball. Now Evans is the blocker. Now you have 8-on-8, 6-on-6, whatever you have. But you get my point. So I believe that's going to happen. So I believe they're going to throw the little out routes, the little quick screens, the little whatever to gain 2 or 3 yards at a time, which is okay because I get the logic in that because now the box is stacked, even though I hate that play. Now, the psychology of it is when it comes to the quarterbacks, and this is my thought. Hunter was right. That quarterback came in. Now, guys, the biggest stage of his career, starting the way he got off, was Saturday. And that type of game and what he did, he basically won the game. If Rattler stays in, I guarantee, I bet everything on it, because I'm supposed to Texas wins that ball game, period, point blank. The problem is for us, I think, and I think he will come at home. He has a home game. All the points that Hunter just made, I think, can be true. But yet, now the backup quarterback's fired up because he's pretty much been talking about he's lost his position all week. So now they play him. He's used to playing us. We got his number. He's used to playing at home. He's comfortable, if you will. For some reason in the Cotton Bowl, that guy can't get comfortable. But he's comfortable at home. He's comfortable playing us. So my fear is that the starter, the newbie, the rookie, comes in and don't do as well, but yet they put Rattler in. That guy, he's settled. He lost his job. He's not worried. He's not – so, man, we have a two-headed monster. That's a double-edged sword for us. And so we're going to – at the end of the day – we are going to have to make the most adjustments to adapt to their energy, to their momentum. Because to me, if you look at that, to me, that just makes a lot just sense, right? And so we have two quarterbacks, and one's going to be on fire, if you ask me. To ask for two of them to play crappy, it's not going to happen at home. So we're going to have to adjust. To me, the adjustments we're going to have to make in order to be in that ball game and in order to win that ball game. So for me, the defenses have just composed themselves and played. To me, the pressure this weekend is on the defense, not the offense. Offense has to score. Don't get me wrong. You have to score to keep your defense in the game, to give them what they need to be in the ball game. That's just what it is. But the pressure to me this week is on the defense because at the end of the day, they're going to line up and run the ball at us. We've got to be strong enough in the middle to withstand it. They're going to pop a couple. We're going to have to – and my thing is they get ahead of us. Even if they get ahead of us 14-0, I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying we cannot panic and go straight to just air it out, open it up, air it out. Because now there's no need to stack the box. And now they can just line up and come out with six people in the box and spread the field. And we know that our quarterback is just not the most accurate deep passer, which we're going to have to go deep. We're going – I don't care what we know. We got to take some shots deep. We got to. We're just going to have to. I'm talking about three or four, maybe five deep balls just to break that up. We're going to have to. So it's going to be interesting to see how we decide to play this chess match, which is going to happen on Saturday because of all the things we all discussed. But it's going to make for a good game. I think we can get in here, and I think we can do – I think with the energy we have going into this game, knowing that we haven't beat Oklahoma in a minute, I think these guys can just say, hey, it's us versus them. It's the guys that come out of this locker room going to Oklahoma, no fans, no whatever. We're going in there to Oklahoma. We got to win this game, us, together, as a team. And if they go in with that attitude, anything can happen. You know, those are our frogs, and I trust when they have the right demeanor, right attitude, and coaching, everybody's hitting on all cylinders, we can win that ball game. We've got to believe we can win that ball game.
Well, I tell you one thing I'd like to see on offense. I don't know why we haven't seen it really all year. Y'all heard of a tight end?
Where'd that go?
Where'd he go?
Where'd that go?
I mean, you know, perfect time. You know what? You run a tight end in there, or run that fullback in there. If you want it to be the fullback, I don't care. But that guy, and that's how you hurt him too. You fake that run to Evans or whoever. You get the linebacker to step up. You let that guy drop right over the linebackers, and boom, you hit that two or three times. Then it makes them guys think about. I'd rather do that than the bubble screen, Shannon. ain't blocked the bubble screen yet. But
something right there, brother.
If we could just do that a few times, with the tight end,
I'm trying to think who's our tight end. When's the last time?
That's a good one. Hunter, who's our tight end? We're supposed to have a good one this year.
Carter Ware's hurt. Well, Carter Ware's been hurt. And so he's our blocking tight end. And then Jerquarius Spivey is the guy that transferred in from Mississippi State. And he's played a little bit, but not really as high.
This be the week for him to have a big week. I mean,
get behind the linebackers, man. That's a 5-yard pickup, 6-yard pickup.
I'm scared of is exactly what happened with Texas, though. We start off running the ball. We did good. And then we tried to get cute. Tried to run the reverse. And let's not try to do all that stuff. Let's see what we can do first. I'm agreeing with Shannon. You got to take shots downfield. You got to do some of that stuff. But at the same time, let's not get totally goofy. I mean, you know. But hey, it's perfect setup. I mean, I think Oklahoma came off an emotional game. You know, they got a quarterback situation. We get to go in with nothing to lose. I mean, even though we want to win, you know, there ain't nobody in the world that's going to be picking us. I mean, after what I see with
Let me ask y'all a question, if you don't mind. Would we all be happy, and I'm not saying this, I'm not going to put bad karma in there, but let's just say this. If we all saw everything that our hearts desire from the offensive defense, like we threw it out there, we did it all, and we still lost, and we played a good game, would we all be like, you know what, we did everything we're supposed to do, we just lost to a better team?
Heck yeah.
Would that be, you know, somewhat decent to say, you know, but
– Well, there's no moral victories, but I would rather lose that way than the way we lost against Texas or SMU.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
To your point, and I brought that question up because of what you're saying. Listen, if we throw it all at them, and we've done it all, and we
even
though we laid it out there, I'm okay with that because I saw everything would be like, well, why we didn't do this? Why we didn't do that? Well, we did it all. And I would be okay with that.
Yeah. If we lose because we're not the better team, absolutely.
I'm cool with that.
I just want to play clean. I want to play hard. I want the offensive line to play physical like they've been playing, really a lot. But the last couple of weeks, they've really come on. If I see that, if I see the defense getting after it, that's a whole different story than some of the past story of the first couple, two or three games that we saw. You know, I think we saw a little bit better. And actually, I think we saw a little bit better of the defense starting off the Tech game. And I think like a young team, too, I think some of it was we got up on them so much, they started having a party. They started relaxing. They started doing this. Then all of a sudden, you're not trying quite as hard. And all of a sudden, you get gashed. And we're not good enough to do that yet.
No. Yeah. No, nobody should be celebrating until it is zero across the board on the clock, because this team cannot afford to celebrate even with, you know, a minute left to go, because we're just not that good to be able to do that. So
but how many times they go for it to fourth down? 3 or 4 times?
Yeah.
I mean, through the game, I thought it was, and we stopped them 3 or 4 times. Them going forward.
Texas did the same thing. Cal did the same thing. SMU did the same thing. That is a consistent thing about this defense. The offenses are going on fourth down when they feel like, hey, we can. What do we have to lose? Might as well. They have no respect for the defense.
It's starting to get a little better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Back to WC's point about the tight end. I got a year of eligibility left. I think I could play some tight end and fullback.
hey, listen, Nick's a basketball guy. We all know that most basketball guys end up being great tight ends in NFL next level. So that might be a good – hey, Nick, we might need to put you out there, bro.
Nick, you don't even have to run any routes. All you got to do is just go out there, and right before the ball snaps, just start talking. You'll lull them into sleep, and we'll just run right past them every time. That's all that's needed, man. That's it. Secret weapon.
It's time to go to sleep.
Yes.
That's it.
Well,
it's our sonic weapon.
Hey, one thing we learned from last weekend, anything can happen. So you come play and you leave it all out there on the field, and you know, you never know what happens. You know, a play
good
here,
point.
A play there, a turnover here, a turnover there, you know, whatever. All of a sudden, if I believe that eBay can beat eBay now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's the theme for this entire football season.
And until the clock reads 0-0-0, guys, you're right, because that game's not supposed to happen like that. I'm watching it. We all saw the game, and that was – you know, Texas had them. That's their game. And, you know, quite frankly, I feel like we played Texas better. Like they, you know, but I get the ambiance of that game, so I won't even compare. But the deal is, and this is where we talked about leadership and leaders, Oklahoma leaders and their players supposed to stand up, stood up. They started making plays on special teams. I mean, they started making plays all across the board. And to me, that's what got it going. Once it got going, there was no letting up. And to me, that was all about – it was a momentum shift for a whole 2 quarters, and that was it. But to me, that started from leaders making plays. And we can do the same thing, but it's going to have to generate from the leaders, the guys that are on our team, the Tomlinsons, the Evans, the quarterback play. All that's got to come. And those who don't think they can be a leader, step up. Like this game –
yeah.
Those are the people who thought they were leaders or think they're leaders. They're going to have to step up. And if they do so, and people get excited about that, like, hey, man, where did that come from? Where you been all year? And they feed off that, we can do the same thing. Not saying that we would be playing from behind or whatever the case may be. But if we start with that energy and we know the times are going to get bad, and we can get that momentum going and don't get down on ourselves and don't bow down to the crowd, we can do the absolute same things. Because, guys, at that game Saturday, Texas fans, was on the whole second half, they were shut up. That was all Oklahoma, so that might as well have been a home game to me, playing in that atmosphere. So they withstood the pressure and came back and whooped their butts. We could do the same thing, WC, to your point, and I agree with that.
Yeah, it is one of those games. It can be a turning point for the entire season. And one of the things that we discussed on the board for the last couple of weeks was, okay, starting with Tech, let's just put the past in the past. New season starts this week against Tech. And we go into Lubbock and we win impressively, which is great, but it's against Tech. But this is one of those that if we could go up to Norman and actually take one in Norman, that changes the whole dynamic and the outlook on the rest of the season. I mean, there's still I hate to say it, but there is still a possibility for this team. This team is not out of it yet. And so they've got to step up. They've got to do better. They've got to have leaders who are just going to take this on and just get in people's faces and go, you're not doing your job the way you need to do it. Get it done and then show them how it's done. We need plays like TJ. We need guys on the line making plays. We need Evans to get more than 17 freaking carries in a game. We need these things to happen if we're going to win in Oklahoma. And that traditionally, we just do not do well in Norman. And it's going to be a difficult game. But we need all of that to happen. And a mistake-free game if we have a chance of being able to pull out a win in Norman on Saturday. So, with that, go ahead, Deborah.
Let me just say one more thing about that. Who's Oklahoma blown out this year?
Nobody.
I mean, they played nobody. I mean, they're it's not like we're looking at a team that's just throttled everybody. I mean, they've played close to a lot of different teams. I mean, look at West Virginia. West Virginia almost had to beat at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's not like West Virginia's putting it on fire or anything right now. You know, they get by Texas. I can't remember. Most of their games have been really close.
Yeah.
It's not like – so, you know what? They get used to playing close all the time. Somebody's going to come up and bite them. It might as well be us. That's the way I look at it.
Well, we are
I'll say this and I'll be done with it. A number four ranked team in the country, I believe is what it is, and a team riding off a high horse is very beatable at home. Give them that. Let them ride that. To me, that's the locker room talk this week. They're 4-0. The new rankings come out. They're whatever they are, 4-5. I think they're 4. And they're riding high off Texas. And this is one of those games where it is meant for us to go in there and play horn frog football and beat these guys at home. And I'm telling you, the stage is set. And that should be the locker room talk this week.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a good game, and you're right, they are beatable, even at home. And this is not a Baker Mayfield-led Oklahoma team. This is a team that is probably the most beatable Oklahoma team I think we've seen since we've joined the Big 12. And I think that says a lot. And I think that our team has the right key components to be able to pull it off on Saturday. So it'll be interesting to see. Before we get to everybody's scores prediction, though, we got this week's letter to the opponent. The Dear Opponent letter by Barry Lewis, and if you haven't checked out our SI Fan Zone yet, go to killerfrogs.com and you will see some of our fantastic writers and some of the articles that they have written, Barry Lewis being one of them. So Barry Lewis this week says, "Dear Sooners, I admit this game will be tough because I was once one of you." Let me quick aside here as the narrator. I know many of you know that I was born in Oklahoma. I just want to remind everybody, I crawled to Texas as fast as I could. And even though I was born in Tulsa, I do not root for the Golden Hurricanes. What a stupid mascot. Or anybody else known as Sooners or Cowboys, unless they have a silver star on their helmet. Now, with that being said, let me continue with Barry Lewis's Dear Opponent letter. "So, I adapted that song of yours to fit me. I am a Sooner born and a Sooner bred, but when I die, I'll be a Horn Frog dead. Granted, I did loudly cheer this weekend when you had that comeback and beat Texas in the Red River Showdown because, you see, my mama raised me right. She proudly wears her I Hate Orange shirt, and her hate for the Longhorns was clearly hereditary. So congrats on that win. Seeing those cocky Longhorns go down is always nice. Almost, but not as good as the times we get to see the best thing in college sports. Baylor Tears. You did come back from the largest deficit against Texas and ended up scoring the most points ever in that series, and probably are feeling the momentum from snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. But we have our momentum too. Our running backs can haul, so watch out. But poor Spencer. He enters the season as a Heisman hopeful, struggles against West Virginia, and his own fans chant to bench him. He did okay the next week up in Manhattan, but then he comes to Dallas and it begins again. Sure, you let Texas get up early, but finally, Lincoln does it. He benches poor Spencer, and in comes true freshman Caleb Williams. And he entered the game wearing his Superman cape to save the day, and that's exactly what he did. And talking about momentum, after you did pull off that last touchdown in the Cotton Bowl Saturday, you probably feel excited and that nothing can stop you now. Nothing. That you'll cruise to the Big 12 championship and on to the college football playoffs, only to face yet another SEC team in the semifinals. And, like always, choke. Again. You may think TCU is a cakewalk because we had lost two straight games, including one to SMU, but hey, you may want to rethink that. SMU may end up being the best team TCU faces all season. Mordecai is having an incredible year. Come December, the finalists that gather in New York for the Heisman presentation just may include a guy who was on your roster as a quarterback in recent years. It just won't be Spencer. Are you ready for what your future holds? If not, let me give you a preview. More losses to SEC teams. Even though most of the Horned Frog Nation's anger, frustration, and grief these last few months was directed to that school down here in Austin, don't think we've forgotten about you and your role in all of this. Whether or not you were the annoying big brother who convinced his pain-in-the-butt kid brother to join you on the pranks, or if you were the subservient whipping boy to the Longhorns, whew, you were still complicit. We can't say it enough. We said it 2 weeks ago when Texas came to town, but now it's your turn. In this case, if this is the last time we play each other for foreseeable future, you need to know how your other Big 12 siblings feel. So on behalf of the seven of the remaining irate eight, I absolutely refuse to speak for that or have anything to do with that school down in Waco, go take a proverbial hike. And when I say go take a hike, well, I think you know what I mean. In case that wasn't clear enough, let me break it down to you. On behalf of our friends in Stillwater, Lubbock, Morgantown, Ames, Lawrence, and Manhattan, take a hike. And on behalf of those of us who live and bleed purple in Fort Worth, Texas, take an even longer hike. It's in this spirit that I wish you the kind of life where Vandy beats you in every sport, every time they go to Norman. So Sooners, as we say in Texas, bless your heart. With all due sarcasm, we will see you at the Palace on the Prairie on Saturday, and you should continue to fear the frog. Go Frogs. Well, thank you, Barry, for the letter this week. With that, I think this will be a good time to go ahead and get into score predictions, and we'll start with Nick. Nick, what do you think Saturday's score is going to be?
I'm gonna talk like Shannon. See, look, Spencer Rattler. He's not Jalen Hurts. He's not Baker Mayfield. He's not Kyler Murray. He's Spencer Rattler. He's too cocky. I got 38-28 TCU.
38-28 with the impression of San Brazil. I like that. That was good. Not bad. You do need to grow a little more facial hair.
Out of him, though, right?
Yeah. You need some more facial hair, maybe a cigar, right. And you got it down pat. Hunter, what do you got?
Nick, what was your prediction?
38-28.
Well, I didn't hear that 38, but I like it. 38-37 Frogs.
38, win by one special for Hunter Nix. I like that.
Yep.
All right.
It's a GP special.
I like it. Shannon, what do you got?
37-34 TCU.
37-24. Okay. All right.
37-34.
My bad. A
field
goal.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you think Kel's going to win it for us at the end, or do you think we're going to win after? Okay. All right. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Dubber, what do you have?
I'm going to go 35-31. I was either going to do that or 41-38. I couldn't decide.
Everyone's going with a really close game, so I'm going to buck the trend this this week. Surprise. 42-27 Frogs. I know.
I like it.
I know. Here's what I think. I think Lincoln's going to start the freshman. I think he's going to have some trouble with the defense. But I think our offense is going to click, and I think we're going to get up slightly in the beginning, and I think that's going to cause some problems for Oklahoma. I hope I'm right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Even if we come away with a one-point win like Hunter, I'll be happy. But in either way, we are looking forward to this contest on Saturday in Norman. Again, if you have not purchased tickets to join us on the Killer Frogs bus up there on Saturday, please do so. Like I said, we only have a few left. And with that, I think we have come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody who's listening to Killer Frogs out there on all the podcast, platforms. You got Spotify, Google Play, and it's not iTunes anymore. I keep saying iTunes. It's Apple Music. Or Apple Podcasts, I should say, these days. So thank you for a few of you who corrected me over the last couple of weeks. And, of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com. You can read all of our articles on the SI Fan Zone. Of course, go to the forum, and you can discuss TCU Athletics with the rest of us. It's a free account, so go ahead and join up today. And you can give us your score prediction. What do you think we're going to see on Saturday as TCU goes up into Norman? And of course, with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get our frogs up and we get to say, go Frogs.
Go Frogs.
Beat the Sooners.